You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 7th, 2020, the U.S. State Department issuing a series of alerts for all American citizens abroad. Of course, that's because of the heightened tension in the Middle East after our drone strike took out the Iranian general. And in Italy, the U.S. Embassy in Rome sent out an email message to Americans urging them to keep a low profile. And a lot of folks who might have been planning a trip to Europe or the Middle East might be reconsidering. Or at least they're going to be more vigilant. And, of course, we're beefing up security around all of our U.S. facilities and bases and wherever we have American personnel exposed, as we should. The Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps is making it clear that Iran will seek revenge for us killing Soleimani and said that it will be hard, firm, regrettable, decisive, and complete. Now, a lot of that, just a mass of words, nothing new. But we still have to take into account what they're capable of doing and be ready. We have seen so far no major events because they were indicating they were going to wait until the funeral was over for Soleimani. Well, they just had the fourth day of his funeral in the streets of his hometown. And it was a violent event. They had a mass stampede by mourners at his funeral and something like close to 40 deaths, almost 200 injured. But now that the funerals are over, Iran is indicating they're ready to strike. In the meantime, we are denying a visa for the Iran foreign minister to come into the U.S. He wants to speak to the U.N. in New York. Of course, we know what the message will be, what he wants to say, and we are denying him the visa. Good. Keep him off U.S. territory. And he claims, well, I can say what I want to from Tehran, and we will do that. That's fine, but you're not coming into our country. Missouri Senator Hawley stepping forward with a resolution to dismiss the impeachment trial against President Trump. He's got a lot of Republican support. The resolution would update Senate rules to allow a motion to dismiss articles of impeachment for lack of prosecution. And no, we still have not seen the articles of impeachment presented by Nancy Pelosi and House Democrats to the Senate. They're still sitting on it. Well, it's very possible it'd be a moot issue if Senator Hawley gets his resolution through in the Senate. And he's got extensive support. Senators Cotton of Arkansas, Blackburn of Indiana, Cruz of Texas, and others. JetBlue stepping forward saying, we're going to do what we can to offset carbon dioxide emissions. They are now going to be using a reconstituted fuel of some type made by some reuse of waste and so forth. That's fine. That's fine until the first engine shuts down because you're using what you're calling a sustainable aviation fuel and it's not going to be adequate. Now, I'm sure they're going to take proper precautions. But putting a sustainable fuel in your car driving down the road and having problems is not the same as being 30,000 feet in a jetliner. We told you about the quake that hit Puerto Rico yesterday, and now another one hit earlier today. This latest one, 6.4, and they had a report of an island-wide blackout for a period of time. And the tremors continue in Puerto Rico. In Australia, they continue to deal with numerous fires, deadly wildfires raging. They've had numerous deaths, property destroyed. And I know as you look at that, you're thinking, what? I mean, it is a drought and the country's hottest and driest year on record. And, of course, climate change activists are blaming the climate and you. You know what they're deciding? It's arson. They've already arrested more than two dozen for deliberately setting brush fires. It's arson, not climate change. Dateline Fort Smith, Arkansas, a police officer has to show up and arrest a man, and his family is there with him. He was shoplifting. And he said, look, I know I got to arrest the guy and take him to jail, but they're stealing food for the kids. That's what they're doing. I took the guy to jail, and then he went back and told the wife, I took care of these foods for you. You can take this food. I know you need it for your babies, but don't do this again. Don't expose your children to crime. He paid for their groceries. He did the job he had to, and then he stepped up as a human with a concern for others. That's a great story.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, especially for our children. A national chain of daycare centers that opened a facility in Washington, D.C. But soon, toxic vapors were discovered leaking from the ground. Wellington Environmental responded and put in a vapor seal so the children were no longer in any danger. Now, in another case, a child was playing with a toy in his basement. And like kids will sometimes do, he was putting the toy into his mouth. He got sick enough to be taken to the hospital. And what had happened? Wellington engineers and a chemist found traces of rat poison. So Wellington professionally cleaned up the danger. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Baby, I got your number, oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you, I called too many times.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Make no mistake, they're shaking in their boots. They're trying to figure this out. And well, I think the president showed great decisiveness, great resolve. And I think that this was a long time coming. If you look back 2 years ago, I gave a speech at the UN on Soleimani and talked about the threats. The president has had restraint all of this time. Since we gave that speech, and I'll tell you, we said then he was not, by the entire Security Council, he was banned from leaving Iran. What was he doing in Iraq anyway?
Those are the words of Nikki Haley, our former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. And that point she raises, why was Soleimani at the Baghdad airport where we targeted him with that drone? Why was he not in Iran when the UN Security Council made it clear you are to stay in Iran? He was there because he felt brazen enough that he could leave. He could do what he wanted. He was head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the Quds Force, and he was in charge of all their terrorist activities. And who's going to stop him? No one's going to stop him until that Reaper drone fired down on him. And we're led to believe now, we've got the Iranians insisting he was going there on a diplomatic peace mission. He was going to broker peace. There were Iranian protesters in the streets the day before and the day before that, assaulting our U.S. embassy, attacking it repeatedly. And the Iraqi guards, Iraq, since our embassy is inside their country in Baghdad, they were responsible for protecting our embassy. They didn't. They basically stepped aside, if not joining in. And President Trump immediately dispatched 100 Marines and Apache helicopters and put a stop to it. The Iranians in Iraq were assaulting our embassy, and they were doing it because they were upset for a previous airstrike we carried out against Iranian targets. And why did we do that? Well, that was because of what they had done previous to that. They had fired upon an Iraqi military base, killing a U.S. contractor, injuring U.S. troops. So then we came back and hit them with the airstrikes. Then they came back and started assaulting our embassy. And we're led to believe that the Iranian military minister was flying into Baghdad to broker peace. Not likely. Not likely at all. He was coming in to cause more mayhem and destruction. And of course we have Congress, Democrats running around all concerned about why this took place under this condition and this timing. I'll get into that in just a moment, but let me share with you some of the threats that we're hearing from Iran at this point. They are saying, according to their new general, he says, we're threatening an attack. We've got some 35 American targets, including destroyers and warships near the Persian Gulf we have identified. And the Strait of Hormuz is a vital point for the West and a large number of American destroyers and warships. And he adds that vital American targets in the region have been identified by Iran since long ago. 35 U.S. targets in the region, as well as Tel Aviv, all within our reach. We have to believe and accept that they do mean they will carry out their threats. It is talk. It's saber-rattling. But there's no doubt they will do it to some extent. Now, how they do it, when they do it, that's why we have to be on special alert. That's why the warnings to any American citizens traveling abroad, be aware of your surroundings. And in some areas, do not go. The State Department made it clear, if you have any intention to go to Iran, first thing you should do is fill out a will and a notification of next of kin, because you might very well not be coming back, either killed or kidnapped. And Iran is claiming we have special hidden military powers ready to unleash at any moment. Now, you know, if he's talking about nuclear weapon capability, they were supposed to stop all of that under that Iran deal that Obama signed off with them, that they were going to stop building nuclear weapons and cease that and focus only on nuclear facilities to improve their rock of a nation. It's clear that they've been developing and working on military weapons. There's no doubt about it. And then he talks about hidden military powers. We'll find out how hidden they are, because if there's an additional escalation, I'm sure those are going to be some of the targets we're going to strike. President Trump has already said, we also have our targets identified. This Reaper drone that took out Soleimani the other day is one of many we have in our fleet. And somewhere in an air-conditioned facility area, a controller of that drone and others, using a joystick, puts it up in the air, flies it over the targeted area, and then waits for the instructions. So let these guys continue to claim that they're going to carry out these attacks. And let's see if they really want to accept what happens when we respond. But, of course, they also have in this country, they have those supporting them to the extent that they were questioning, should we have killed Soleimani? Soleimani, whether or not he was ready to carry out an imminent threat, which is what we were told by the White House, or we simply decided let's take him out because he has been involved in killing 600 U.S. troops, 6,000 attacks against U.S. and allied forces. To me, that's reason enough. I don't need to have an additional reason. And if I catch him off Iranian soil, he's mine. And President Trump had that attitude as those around him. And he gave the green light that when he lands at the Baghdad airport, light him up. And they did. But again, who is crying over his death? Who is weeping and all upset? Let's go to the words of Nikki Haley again.
You don't see anyone standing up for Iran. You're not hearing any of the Gulf members. You're not hearing China. You're not hearing Russia. The only ones that are mourning the loss of Soleimani are our Democrat leadership and our Democrat presidential candidates. This was something that needed to be done and should be celebrated. And I'll tell you right now, partisan politics should stop when it comes to foreign policy. This is about America United. We need to be completely behind the president, what he did, because every one of those countries are watching our news media right now, seeing what everyone's saying. And this is a moment of strength for the United States. It's a moment of strength for President Trump.
But she's right. As they watch the news coverage around the world, they see all these Democrats, and now Republican Senator Paul Ryan stepping up and saying that he also is against it. Look, we're going to have dissension and debate on some of these things, but there's a time you do it and a time you don't. And after something like this, can you not step in line behind the commander-in-chief? Let me put it this way. If Obama had carried out such a strike like this, you wouldn't have heard any complaints from the Democrats, and I would challenge any Republicans. And when we did, in fact, carry out the attack on Osama bin Laden, there was no crying by Republicans that that was wrong. We shouldn't have done it. But what we have now, and this is being watched by international press and in turn Iran and those inside Iran, Democrats rushing to pass a resolution declaring that President Trump violated international law with that airstrike. It would reduce the president's power to conduct hostilities without congressional approval from 60 days under the War Powers Act of 73 to 30 days. Some Democrats proposing taking away any money to deal with hostilities in Iran. In other words, we've got our troops in danger, 50,000 troops throughout the Middle East, 3,500 now moving into that immediate region. They're going to say we're not going to support them monetarily. But when Barack Obama often exceeded the boundaries of his legal authority as president when it came to war, what did the Democrats do? Did they complain? The answer is no. The most notorious case, the Libya war. Obama launched it in March 2011 without congressional authorization. He continued it beyond the War Powers Resolution deadlines of 60 days because the administration argued the U.S. was not engaged in hostilities but leading from behind. That is one of the few times Obama showed that he could be a president of strength. Prior to that time, always on the apology tour and drawing lines in the sand and then backing up. And still later, when he was considering military action against Syria, we did not have even the backing of the UN Security Council. Obama did later abandon that plan, but he did bomb Syria during the campaign of the so-called Islamic State, dropping more than 26,000 bombs on Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, and Pakistan just in 2016. Did you hear any protest from the Democrats? Well, again, Rand Paul, I think I said Paul Ryan a moment ago, but Rand Paul, Republican Kentucky, yeah, he also registered his protest at that point, too. And protesting use of drones. But when I see Democrats claiming that our successful strike to destroy and wipe out Soleimani, the world's leading commander of terrorist activities, when I hear them saying that it was provocative and disproportionate, it is hypocritical. And as you heard Nikki Haley say, it's time to put politics aside. I'm looking at a piece written by, I think it's John Nolte. Make sure I get the right name. No, Joe Pollack of Breitbart. And he said, what we have with the Democrats right now, they would rather lose a war with Iran than win with Trump. That's pretty close to what I've been saying all along, that they hate Trump more than they love this country. Obama bombed countries, went to war, used a kill list, did not once consult Congress when he wanted to do it, when he took it on his own to say, go. And I commend him for doing that. I do, and I was not an Obama supporter. And you also have those looking at what's happened now with the kill that we carried out against Soleimani. And the Democrats and others saying that was wrong, we should have done it differently, maybe they wanted to capture him, whatever. Tom Friedman is a three-time Pulitzer Prize winner, and he knows the Middle East. He is a critic of Donald Trump. He's a liberal commentator, generally always supporting in the past Barack Obama. But while he's watching the frenzy of those on the political left denounce and attack Trump for this, Tom Friedman writes, one day they may name a street after President Trump in Tehran. Because Trump just ordered the assassination of possibly the dumbest man in Iran and the most overrated strategist in the Middle East. He says Soleimani was an idiot because he squandered the lifting of sanctions that he got as part of the 2015 deals and then plunged his country into poverty and jailed any critics or killed them and continued fighting proxy wars against Americans and in locations like Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Israel, and in effect forcing the Trump administration to take action. Unless we had a Democrat in the White House, and maybe they would say, oh, that's okay. Talking about assassinating the president when we continue.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
On a hippie trailhead full of zombies, I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Can you make a direct threat against the president and say, oh, it's a joke, I meant nothing? U.S. Code, Title 18, threats against the president and successors to the presidency. Whoever knowingly and willfully deposits for conveyance in the mail or for delivery from any post office or by any letter carrier, any letter, paper, writing, print, missive, or document containing any threat to take the life of, to kidnap, or to inflict bodily harm upon the president of the United States, president-elect, vice president, and others in the line of succession, or knowingly and willfully otherwise makes any such threat, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 5 years or both. Pretty clear when it comes to the law. Comedian George Lopez thought it would be funny to make his joke. After we took out Soleimani in one of the funeral services, Iran announced an $80 million bounty for Trump's head. $80 million. Lopez, the 58-year-old, decided to joke, said, hey, we'll do it for half. Basically saying for $40 million, we'll kill the president. Larry, it's a joke. He doesn't have $40 million. Yeah, you want to say it's a joke. You want to just continue to roll over and let celebrities call for the death of President Trump and the media is okay with it. Tom Arnold took a less direct approach. Back in October, when President Trump just arrived in Dallas, tweeted out, just arrived at the American Airlines Center, be out shortly. And Tom Arnold, in turn, tweeted, don't get too cocky, traitor. They showed up for JFK, too. In other words, suggesting he would be assassinated. Not saying he would do it, but suggesting it. And yet we have numerous celebrities have flat out called for violence against him, threatening to punch him, threatening to kidnap the children, especially Barron, and throw him into a den of pedophiles. This is what Hollywood and the elite think they can get away with, and those on the left. If you hate our president and your celebrity, and especially if you got your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, everybody just goes, hey, is that funny? I still consider it a national threat, a federal crime. Now, supposedly, the Secret Service will be having a conversation with this comedian, George Lopez. I've seen him. He can be funny, but that's not funny. You think he'll apologize? You'll come back and say, my bad, I didn't mean anything by it. I'm truly sorry. Maybe he will, maybe he won't, but that's often what they do on the left. They suddenly turn around and say, well, we didn't mean it. It's just a joke. Can't you get it? But if you had dared, and here's where you tell the line each and every time, if you had dared make a joke like that against Obama when he was in office, do you think the attitude, the response would have been the same? That's your answer. That's your answer. And if that would have been what they would do at that point, then that's exactly what should be done now. Well, the other day at the Golden Globes, Ricky Gervais made some comments that kind of stunned Hollywood. Did he really mean any of it, or was it just joking around again? James Herson's going to join us from Hollywood with his comments in a moment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
The IRS is clearly our most powerful government agency. If the IRS decides you've done something wrong, you're suddenly facing serious issues. I know that can be traumatic, and I found out trying to deal with the IRS on my own was a big mistake. So I called the Lance Drury Law Firm. The American Society of Tax Problem Solvers rates Lance Drury at the top. That's because Lance Drury has decades of experience. He knows how to deal with the volumes of regulations and red tape. Lance Drury quickly laid out a plan for me that would satisfy the IRS and save me money. And don't go into the IRS lion's den without Lance Drury by your side. Say you heard about Lance Drury on Larry Connors USA and get a free consultation. Lance Drury Law Firm, 314-238-7360. 314-238-7360. Call the Lance Drury Law Firm and sleep better at night.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off that old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and
get the F off the stage. That's Ricky Gervais the other day at the Golden Globes as a host in some of his monologue attacking Hollywood, or was he? James Herson, New York Times best-selling author, international business attorney, and, of course, follows everything on the West Coast in Hollywood for us. Back on board. Glad to have you, James.
Great to be with you, Larry. What a great moment in award shows. The best moment we've had in two decades.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, when I first saw it, I wasn't sure if he was just doing a joke within a joke, if he really meant it. What was you took it right away that it was definitely aimed at where he intended?
Well, part of it is because this is his fifth time hosting, and this is his style of humor. I mean, he toasts people, he roasts people. In this case, it was clear because when the first punchline hit, maybe then you were saying, well, is Ricky going to turn this against deplorables or something? But to me, that line, when he said, if ISIS started a streaming service, you people would be running to call your agents. I mean, this was really well written, and you know that everybody knows that good comedy always has a grain of truth in it. I don't know what's funnier, Ricky Gervais's monologue that torched Hollywood, or Hollywood's reaction to it, because you know it became a social media meme. Tom Hanks, who a lot of people love, I've never been a Tom Hanks fan as far as his acting, but you know everybody thinks he's a great actor. But Tom Hanks's face, it went into this sort of contorted, like he had just eaten a bad pickle.
Yeah,
or something.
I saw that. Yeah, you're right.
And it became a social media meme. It went viral. And I kind of wondered why would Tom Hanks be reacting? It was at the time when Ricky Gervais was making a joke about Jeffrey Epstein not having committed suicide, which, by the way, almost no one believed that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide. And then he said, the audience groaned. He says, oh, I get it. You know, he's your friend.
Yeah. And that took some of them. But he also said, and he's coming after you. And when he threw that, they kind of made others groan again. But Ricky,
yeah, I mean, his whole thing, and then there were a lot of people on the social media who were basically claiming that what Ricky Gervais did was just outrageous. It was terrible. These same leftists who thought Michelle Wolf was just fine when she was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner making jokes about killing babies in the womb. I just think what Ricky Gervais did was what most Americans have felt about Hollywood for the last decade or so, and that's why award ceremonies, and we're not just talking about the Golden Globes, but we're talking about the Oscars, the Grammys, the Emmys, their ratings have been consistently going down. People have been shutting off their sets because they're just, you know, sick and tired about an entertainment show that spends a significant part of its time lecturing the public on social mores from people who are hypocrites.
I like that fact. Yeah, I like that fact. And he said most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. But on top of that, he also said that just come up, get your little award as if it's your little drink thing, and shut your mouth and go back. No political statements. However, now, there was one, and we'll get to that in a moment. But what I've seen now from Ricky Gervais lately is he's now tweeting out that some consider his jokes right-wing, and he said it was meant to be populist, and I was attacking targets that liberals usually hate, large corporations and super wealthy. So he said, how can teasing them, most privileged people in the world, be considered right-wing?
Very good point, because what he pointed out, he took shots at the big tech companies who live off of, as he called it, slave labor in China and other developing countries. And we know, you know, when it comes to Amazon, we hear from former employees, we hear about Google former employees, and we hear about Apple and their sweatshops. These Zuckerberg and Facebook, these are not bastions of corporate morality. And yet, Hollywood is willing to sell their soul. They sell their soul to China, and they sell their soul to Silicon Valley at the drop of a hat. So that's why I really resonated to that.
Well, let me get your response then. Yeah, let me get your response from Vanity Fair writer and former Entertainment Weekly editor Mark Harris. He said, here's my problem with Ricky. The idea that celebrities are not only pampered babies but hypocrites who cause the problems and make speeches deploring should therefore shut up, act, seen, be grateful, is a right-wing talking point, and especially stupid. It's not an act of speaking truth to power or a bravery to attack celebs on that front. It's a tired way of scolding people into silence.
Well, this is a perfect example of a straw man, because Ricky Gervais was not telling people, scolding them into silence. Ricky Gervais was pointing out what most Americans realize, And Joaquin Phoenix, by the way, did too. And that is that we're talking about hypocritical people who live a lifestyle that's inconsistent with what they preach and who are out of touch, have no business lecturing people in the real world because they're not part of the real world. Joaquin Phoenix went up and said, hey, you know, I'm learning a lot. I've never been like a great person morally. And I'm learning about the importance of the vote. I'm sort of paraphrasing. He says, but, you know, if we're going to be these people that tell people to vote a certain way, maybe we ought not fly in private jets. And that got a groan, by the way. So it's, I guess there are people in Hollywood with a conscience, and that Vanity Fair guy is not one of them. He's looking for slaps on the back at the next social event in Hollywood. And Ricky Gervais, strangely enough, I believe that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association will bring him back. They probably won't bring him back next year, but they knew what they were getting with Ricky Gervais, and they knew that he was going to torch individuals. I mean, he
mocked the Hollywood Foreign Press as all very racist.
He mocked the Hollywood Foreign Press in a number of ways, and he mocked Tim Allen when Tim Allen came up.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he pretty much mocked everyone. A few years ago, Mel Gibson was actually a presenter, and Ricky Gervais was merciless with Mel Gibson, and just, it was unbelievable. Everyone applauded it, thought, oh, it was wonderful. There's a political edge to this, but I'm really happy to see that Ricky Gervais is pointing out hypocrisy, inconsistency, and logical fallacy.
And attacking their wokeness, and I think he woke the right in many ways for that particular show.
Well, there's a lot
who were,
of...
Who
I mean,
were watching it, those who were watching it anyway.
Someone actually posted on social media that President Trump should consider his next press secretary would be Ricky Gervais. And that person who posted it is me.
So, did you?
Yes. But
Have you heard back?
No, I haven't heard from anyone in the Trump administration. And I didn't mean any. I wasn't casting any dispersions at Stephanie Grisham. She's doing
a
wonderful
job. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I actually don't think that's a good idea, but but we have so little influence in the pop culture, and I say we, those of us that are right of center, and so, you know, we grasp for allies wherever we can. When Roseanne Barr was in the spotlight, we put our arms around her. We love Tim Allen. You know, it's just, comedy is a very powerful medium, and it's very difficult to be able to poke fun at protected classes. And so this guy at Vanity Fair, he wants Hollywood celebrities to be sort of like royalty, that we're not ever supposed to criticize them, and they're supposed to be able to speak their mind on anything that happens to pop into it. And by the way, even though Ricky Gervais toasted them, it didn't stop Patricia Arquette or Michelle Williams from going up and making abject fools of themselves.
I want to take a moment and stop you and bring you back after the commercial. Did you agree that you could give us a little bit more time? Because I want to raise an issue about comedians and attacking, especially the president. We'll be right back with more as James Hersham will continue to join us, and we'll talk about specifically about that George Lopez remark we were talking about earlier, where he joked about putting $40 million as a bounty for President Trump's head.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
And we're back with James Hersham, and I do want to talk about George Lopez and his comment, but I want to let you, you were talking about how a couple of the actresses at the Golden Globe, even though they were warned, don't get up there and pontificate and use it as a platform, they did anyway.
Oh, sure. That great foreign policy expert, Patricia Arquette, had to comment on our president's strong and wonderful response to the lawless acts of war recently by Iran. And Michelle Williams had to go up and make a pro-baby killing speech. They're both just offensive people.
And that's the kind of thing that's been costing the audiences for these awards, because I don't want to turn it in and see that.
It cost them, their entourage, the people that signed them. You know, there's an old maxim Samuel Goldwyn said, if you've got a message, use a telegram. He meant, you know, don't use entertainment vehicles and force your message in.
All right, let me jump in. Let me jump into the George Lopez comment. In fact, I've already had a response on my Facebook, someone writing, and Judith writing in, it's no joke from Lopez. He made a threat. And what he was doing, the Iranian leaders had said, we'll put an $80 million bounty on Trump's head to get him after he killed Soleimani. And George Lopez joked, we'll do it for half. Now, the Secret Service apparently still has not visited him. Before you joined us, we read the penal code regarding its threats against the president. And they want to always say it's a joke, and they get by with passing it off like that.
Well, you know, it reminds me of what Kathy Griffin did when she held out the
right.
severed head. And I guess, you know, there are limits. I mean, we have a very famous landmark Supreme Court decision called Brandenburg versus Ohio. And there's an area of free speech in our tradition that is not protected by the First Amendment because it's incitement. In other words, it's encouragement to commit a crime. And there's a crime that affects all of us, and that would be the murder of the leader of our country. And so there's been too many people cavalierly disguising their hatred in the form of humor. And what George Lopez did was irresponsible and outside of the bounds of free expression. It has nothing, and I have people say, well, how could you defend Ricky Gervais? Because Ricky Gervais was pointing out truths about celebrities. He wasn't telling people to kill them.
Right.
And George Lopez is implying that, you know, for half the money, someone ought to go commit this heinous act. It's just, it's real sad. And it's like, but George Lopez's career is very sad. He needs attention. So he's in the same category as Alyssa Milano and Rose McGowan.
So for them, it's nothing but getting more support and followers and getting, hey, from the Hollywood celebs, hey, we're all together.
And getting attention, and they do. You know, they get attention for these outrageous statements.
But when do we put a stop to it? You're in a lawyer. You know the law, and you decided it. When do we say enough's enough, and we start at least fining them and doing something if you're making even an idle threat against the president? If you get on an airplane and you joke about, I'm going to take this plane under my control, they're going to arrest you for charges of threatening of hijack.
That's right. It's the famous maxim, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's not protected by the First Amendment. Speech that is dangerous is not protected. And in this, yeah, there are limits. It's not an unlimited protection.
But it's a partisan protection, isn't it?
Well, according to unfortunately, the wokesters out there interpret the First Amendment as only protecting speech that I agree with. And that's the same kind of standard that is being practiced in totalitarian regimes like North Korea and even China. And so, and currently in Iran. So it doesn't comport with American law, which comes from British common law.
But if we actually dropped the hammer, if the Secret Service went in and put him in cuffs and took him away for a period of time, and say, we're no longer going to allow this to happen. I mean, and I would say the same thing if someone were, had done the reference to Obama. I'll give you 40 seconds to put a wrap on it, sir. I don't want to interrupt you again.
Well, according to reports, our great and courageous and wonderful Secret Service have contacted George Lopez. And that makes me smile because even, yeah, I don't know about it, but I'm putting him in cuffs, but just them contacting him, hopefully in person, I think that will be a wonderful event. You know, supposedly, purportedly, they did that with Kathy Griffin. So maybe George can call Kathy. They can comfort each other.
James, as always, I appreciate you. And as you always, I thank you for the additional time. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
We'll do it again. You bet. James Herson, international best-selling and international lawyer, and very insightful and a lot of fun at the same time. He nailed it in the sense of what we saw from Hollywood Elite. He's done a great job keeping us posted on how they go around with their noses in the air, hide behind their mansions and moats, telling you how to live your life, not them, because, you know, they're special. You, you're not so special, not in their view. You are in my mind, so I'd encourage you to please to let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. Have them join us. Check in at Larry Connors USA Facebook as well. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.